We all know that the Neat Little Macapps podcast isn't about big honking programs. No, it's about those neat little apps that most of the time do only a few things, but they do it very, very well. Now, sometimes I come across a program that is really Neat Little Macapps worthy, but just a bit too small to actually fill up a whole episode. And so I put it in my treasure chest, and now I'm setting them free. Welcome to the 15th episode of the Neat Little Macapps podcast, the podcast where I talk about my love for those cool little apps that are out there. Now, this week we're going to try something different. It's just for one episode. I'm going to see what it gives, and I'm going to review tiny little macapps. And the apps of this podcast are Easy DMG, Mini Battery Logger, Photo Drop, and Solitaire XL. Now be sure to keep listening to the podcast, because for the Mini Battery Logger I'll be giving away some licenses. The other programs are freeware, so I won't have to do anything about that. Be sure also to check out the artwork, because you all know that this is an enhanced podcast, meaning that everything I talk about can be seen in the iTunes artwork window or on your iPod, and if there is something to link to, you can click there as well. Okay, we've got a lot to do, so before I head into all the reviews of those great applications, I'm going to give you some listener feedback, and that is about a delicious library contest that I did last week. Now, I had tons of reactions, really a bit too much to actually go over them all during this podcast. I'll be sure to send all the developer tips that I got in to the developer itself. I'll just pick some tips out here. A lot of people wanted to have a wider source of online stores to search through. You know, at this moment, the Delicious program goes to Amazon.com to get all its artwork and info, and I would have liked to include even more specific stores, and that's something I should have thought also, because in Europe you can get the Amazon store, but a lot of CDs and stuff are a bit too local and aren't on that store, so you don't get the info for those. One of the other tips that they sent was a lot of community functions that they wanted. They wanted to have Delicious Library to have some sort of sharing function, just like iTunes has, you know, that when you are on the same network, for example, or perhaps over the internet with people you know, then you could share your library and let other people look into your library. Now, I'm going to start off with giving you the winner of that Delicious Library contest, and that is Mark Grambo. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And I'll just run through the tips that he sent. He really sent a lot. One of the things he wanted was a backup solution. Now, he corrected himself, telling that there is an easy pick for .Mac backup. But it would be cool if there would be some other kind of sort of, backup to a CD automatically. That would be cool. One other tip he gave was that he liked the series function in Delicious Library. I didn't discuss that, but you can select multiple books and stuff and say, okay, this is a series. But he would like to have more control on that function, so that you don't only have the series, for example, alphabetically, but that you could actually say, okay, in this series, this is the first one, that's the second one, that's the third one, for example. He also would have liked to have an exporting function to HTML or Flash or something like that, so he could just put on the website of his Delicious Library on the site, on a site. He went a lot further there, but that's a bit too much now to run through in this episode. He also would have liked to have some sort of automatic reminder for the people who borrowed a book from him, that they would automatically, if they borrow it from his library, that they would automatically get a reminder sent to them. It's telling them, hey, you have to bring your book back. So it wouldn't only add that reminder in your own iCall, for example, but it would also send a mail to the borrowers that they would have to return the book. I think you could do that in iCall if you would select the script or something to run, or just send a mail, but I'm not quite sure. I should check that out. Okay, let's head into the reviews now. A lot of work here. Oh, I'm sorry. So congratulations, Mark, and for all the other people who joined in the contest, be sure I'll send the developer's tips to the developer. Okay, let's head into this review session. We'll start with Easy DMG. Now, what is Easy DMG? Easy DMG is a program that creates DMG files. Now, you perhaps don't know this, but a DMG file is actually a sort of disk image file, and you can make them in OS X natively by going through the disk utility application and make a disk image there, but EasyDMG really makes it a lot more easier. The current version is 1.5 and it's created by Michele Ferretti, so he's Italian, at blackbirdlog.it. So how would I use this program actually? Well, you would just create a number of files that you want to add to a specific DMG, to a disk image. And disk images are often used to transport applications, for example, over the internet. If you download an application, chances are that it's enclosed in a disk image. So that's what I did also. I have another podcast, well, not really a podcast. I had another site, it's still up there, podguides.net. And I had a little application that I created for that site that would automatically put a lot of MP3s together, zip it, and you could submit the PodGuide to my site. That was the PodGuide generator. And I would go about distributing that application just by creating a DMG file. So how does it work, actually? Well, it's very simple. You just open up the application and you get a tiny little window with, what's it called, little circling thing when you have to, when it's doing something, the I'm active moving icon, I don't know, and underneath of that it just tells you drag the folder here. I wonder what I should do next. So what you do, you just take a specific folder, you drop it onto that application, and immediately it will create a DMG file on your desktop for that specific folder that you dragged in. It has some preferences, not a lot. The preferences are you can be notified when it's done, when the DMG file is created, by an audio signal, by Grawl. I should review Grawl one of these days, it really is cool. And reveal in Finder. The image options are Internet Enable Archive and Open After Created. Internet Enabled means that when you download that DMG file, it will automatically extract its content and disappear. So that's the cool thing about Internet Enabled DMG files. And that's it for EasyDMG. That's all there is to this application. So it really is handy. It is cool. It's tiny, but it's very, very useful. I don't really have a developer tip for EasyDMG. I mean, the application is so small, it does what it's supposed to do. So I'd say leave it at that. It's a really cool app and it does its job really good. Okay, the next application is Mini Battery Logger. Mini Battery Logger is an application that shows your battery status in a graph-like interface. It's really nicely done. It's created by Claudio Procida. That's another Italian, I think. And the current version is 1.1.8. It really is a cool application. Now, why would I use this? Well, it happens to be that I recently racked a battery. I don't think I personally racked a battery, it was probably dead anyway, but I had problems with my PowerBook battery and I had to get a new one. And so I went out searching for a program that would give me a bit more detailed info on what was happening on my battery. And so I stumbled on Mini Battery Logger. Okay, if you open up the application, you will basically see one main window. On the top left corner, you get a few buttons that will define how that main graph, that window, is displayed. The first one is the standard graph view, where you will see the strength of your battery through time. The next view option you have is the statistics option, and that will give you entries for the times that you started Mini Battery Logger. It will give you the cycle count and the maximum capacity at that time. And you can add a note, for example, to clarify what you were doing at that time exactly. The next view is the log view. And there you will see the charge, the amperage, and the status if your battery was plugged in or not, if it was charging or not, but in a log window. And you can search through that log. You can filter out specific things. Now, the next two buttons is a plus and a minus that will be needed for the graph view again. And there you can zoom out and zoom in on the graph so you can narrow the specific details you see at that given time. You can also shift to the left and shift the chart to the right with the buttons next to that. What also is very cool is that you could use Grawl to actually send you an alert when a battery, for example, has reached a certain low level. And that you would do in the preference panel. So I'll start with the preference panel. The general preference panel gives you just the probing interval, at which intervals it should check the status of your battery, and also if it should show the battery status in your dock icon. You have a little cool icon there that will show you the status of your battery with a colored battery icon. It's the same icon you get for the widget. There is also a widget for this application, so do check it out, and it looks a bit the same there. Next thing you can select there in the preference window is the chart view, where you can set which items it should show on the chart, which things it should visualize, the charge, the voltage, or the amperage, and in which colors it should do that. You can also set if the mini battery logger should draw bubbles for relevant power events. And then you are at the alerts settings, and there you can set a certain setting, and then Grawl will notify you when your battery has reached that specific level. And the last one is, of course, the software update option. And that is mainly a mini battery logger. Do check it out. It's a really cool app, and it's neat to see how your battery evolves through time. My developer tip is a tip that popped in my mind when I was talking to the developer itself through iChat, really nice fella, and I was telling him how I went out to get mini battery logger when my old battery died on me, and he went like, oh, perhaps I should add a simple diagnostic tool to it, telling you like, hey man, this battery won't last for long. So it was actually his own developer tip for himself, and I do agree with that. It would be really cool if a mini battery logger would notify you through Grawl, telling you like, hey man, get a new battery. I don't think that would be very, very hard to do, so that would be really cool. Now, to win a license for this application, I have two. You can send me a mail with a screenshot of mini battery logger. You can go and download it at the site. That's not a problem. You can run that. And you just create a nice graph, send a screenshot from that graph to me, and you're in the contest. Now, if you don't win a license for this, be sure to check out the site, because when you use the promo code NEETLITTLEMACAPPS, so one word, NEETLITTLEMACAPPS, at the site, then you will get 25% discount on an already low fee of €8. So that's, euros and dollars, or whatever. Go and check it out. It's €8 now, and you get 25% discount on that also. So be sure to check it out. I'll repeat that in the next podcast for the people who didn't win a license. So I have two licenses for mini battery logger. Okay, so the next application is PhotoDrop. It's a really cool application. It's a utility that creates customized droplets on your desktop, and those droplets, if you drop an image onto them, they can modify certain attributes of that image. It's created by Aram Kudushian. You know that person because I already reviewed an application from him that was high priority. You can click the link in the artwork window if you want to visit the site. The current version is 1.0.1. So how does it work actually? Well, you open up PhotoDrop, and it's a single panel application. The first thing to do is you can select which extensions should be accepted by that droplet. Next, you can put in all the specific attributes that that droplet should change for that image. The attributes are flip image horizontally or vertically, pad image to dimensions, and then you can give a width and a height for the image, resample image to maximum dimensions, and that would resample the image to a maximum height or width depending on what is the largest of the two. And you can add some metadata, for example the artist, copyright, and a description automatically to that image. You have also some general options, for example add an icon to that image. Resample image dimensions to width or height. Crop image dimensions again to width or height, and rotate image clockwise or put in a known rotation in that field. You can also change the format. For example, if you want to have all the images outputted to a JPEG or a TIFF or a PNG, you name it, it's in there, then it will do that as well. And you can select the quality of the image that should be put out. And then you just hit Save Droplet, you give it a name, and you save that droplet on your desktop. And each image you drop on the droplet will be changed according to the settings you created when making that droplet. There is one developer tip for PhotoDrop, and that is that the image automatically gets overwritten, the original image. Okay, you get a window popping up saying, do you really want to overwrite this image? It would be cool if, for example, in the droplet itself, you could already say, okay, don't overwrite the image, and add this extra name in the image file and save it as another name. So you wouldn't have to go and make a copy first before you run an image through PhotoDrop. Last application, Solitaire Extra Large, Solitaire XL. It's a game. It's Solitaire, of course. What else? And the current version is 1.1.7, and the developer is LavaCut Software. It's a really cool application, and why do I like it so much? Well, I'll start with the preferences. If you open up Solitaire's preferences, you can first change the back side of the cards. You can drag an image onto it. That's really cool. You can define the rules, if it only has to draw one or draw three cards, or if it has to allow cheating undos. The animation speed also, at which the cards turn, you can change that. And you can select if it should show the congratulations message or not. And then for the playing area, and this is really cool, you can choose a solid background, or you can leave it transparent. So you only see the cards, and you can change the play field. And this is really cool. You can make it fill up the whole screen, or you can make it really tiny, small, little solitaire sitting there on your desktop. It's really cool. You can also change the scoring. Maybe you can enable scoring. You can enter your nickname that it should use for the high scores. And if you want, you can submit your scores on Quit, and you can submit it to the high score list. Really cool application. I'll be featuring some more games. I have a really cool game I'm going to review next, but I'm going to keep it hush-hush. Just go to the website and see what the next episode of the Neat Little Mac Apps podcast is, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But for this game, it really is cool. It's solitaire, and I play it. I admit, I dare play solitaire. There is one small developer tip for Solitaire Extra Large or Solitaire XL. I don't know how you name it correctly. And that is when you set in the preferences the background to the smallest background possible, then the cards get cut through for some reason. But that might be my system only. It's a nice variation to a well-known game, and it looks really cool. So that's it for this Neat Little Mac Apps podcast. Be sure to hop in at the site, of course, at www.neatlittlemacapps.com, and leave your comments there. You can, of course, also mail me your comments instead of going to the contact form, and that mail will be sent to feedback@neatlittlemacapps.com. If you happen to know an application that is truly special, or if you're a developer that has an application that could do with some extra attention, then you can also submit that to me at feedback@neatlittlemacapps.com. I'll have a look at the application, and if it's Neat Little Mac Apps worthy, then maybe I'll feature it in the show. So send those applications to me. I'll try to respond to all the feedback that you send to me, but lately it's getting really, really a lot of work to get through all that mail, and so I'll try my best with Rapido Write, of course, to give an answer to your mail. Now, promoting the show is always a nice thing, of course, and the way you can promote the show is by telling all of your friends to listen to the Neat Little Mac Apps podcast, of course, or you can buy something from the neatlittlemacapps.com store. I'm going to have some t-shirts here in the near future that I will be giving away for when you join in a contest. I don't have them in yet, but if you can't wait, just go over to the Neat Little Mac Apps web store, the online store. You can click the link in the artwork window now if you want to go there directly, and you can buy whatever you like. T-shirts, hats, mugs, you name it, it's on there. You can also support me by adopting an episode, just like the people of Pizzizz did last episode. And the way you go about that is just go to the site or click the link in the iTunes artwork window again, and you will be taken directly to that page on the site, the promo kit, and you can see what you can do to promote this show by adopting it. And that brings me to the end of the show. All that's left now is crediting the music, and that is brought to us by the British band Dark Horse. The track name is Starting Over, it's the instrumental version, and you can find out more about these guys at music.podshow.com. Thanks for listening to this episode. Keep loving those apps. Talk to you soon. Bye.
This show is a proud member of the techpodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
Techpodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.